Good morning, Lifeway. Y'all may be seated. Good morning, Lifeway Live. It's good to be here with you. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 5. That's where we're going to be today. We're going to look at Jesus, a lunatic, and a bunch of pigs. Kind of sounds like a bad joke, doesn't it? But I promise you, once we get done, hopefully this will be one of your favorite stories, favorite miracles in God's Word and what He has done. And can Jesus, He is the way maker, isn't He? He is the miracle worker. He is the God who can take and do all these different things in order to help us overcome the problems in our life. And that's who Jesus is. He is that every single day. And so if you're having a great week or a terrible week, whatever it's been like so far, I'm talking about last week, I know this one's just beginning, but whatever it's been like last week, He's the one that can help you through it. He's the one that can make that way. And so let's get into our story today. What we're going to do is we're going to read the story and kind of talk about it along the way, and then we're going to have some application at the very end. So Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 1. And so it says this, it says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. Now, I have a map back here on our screen. I want to show you something here, and that is where he was before this was Capernaum. And then he goes over here to Gergesa, okay, or the Gerasenes. And so this is the path that he has traveled. Now, what you'll discover in our story is he takes this boat ride across the Sea of Galilee to spend a very short amount of time in this place. And then he goes back across. We'll get to that at the very end here as to why that is. But I want you to kind of see where this is happening. So you see the Sea of Galilee. Jesus ministered all around this place. He's traveled across, so that's where he's at. We pick up with verse 2. It says this, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 3, he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Here you have a picture of these tombs. So these tombs or these caves basically would have been nestled in these mountains. And just over here to the left, you would have the Sea of Galilee. And so out of these caves runs this man to meet Jesus as he's getting out of the boat. Now, as I read this story and as I studied it and things like that, I had a question that popped into my head. Why would this man run to Jesus? Why would this man run to Jesus? Okay, now, if you saw Jesus, you would run to him, right? Why would you run to him? Because why? To meet him? He's our Father? He's our friend. He's our Father. He's something special to us. But to this man, he was nothing special. And what we'll see here as we read, we see this man is possessed by demons. And so the question is, was it this man? Was this the last part of himself that thrust himself towards Jesus? Was it the demons that led him down the hill? What was it? Let's continue to read. So like it says in verse 3, no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Verse 4. But he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. So what did the society at that time, the place where he lived, what were they trying to do? They're trying to probably help him, actually. You know, help him not harm himself, help him not harm people. It's kind of like if you have someone going crazy today, what do they do? They may put them in that straitjacket so that they don't harm themselves or other people. And so this is happening. These people, they're trying to help, but society could not help this man. He was so wild, he was so much of a lunatic that no one could go near him. He would break whatever chains, shackles, whatever bonds they would try to wrap him up with, fell off of him. So this demon-possessed man had this extraordinary strength. Now let me ask you this. Living in the cave, do you think his nutrients, the nutrients that he was getting, do you think it was amazing? No. It wasn't amazing. I mean, I don't know what you eat. In fact, I don't know even how much he did eat. We'll look at that as we continue on, but just think about the strength that this man possessed. And it was all because of the demons that were inflicting him. We pick up in verse 5, it says this, night and day among the tombs and on the mountainside, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones. This man, possessed by demons, was cutting and crying out. I want you to think about this. This guy probably wanted to die, but he couldn't even die because each time he inflicted that harm upon himself, the demons gave him that extra strength to push on and to continue. Can you imagine, can you for a second put yourself in this man's position? You're controlled by demons. You want out of this life because of the misery that you're being put through, but you can't get out of this life. Maybe some of y'all know people like that. Maybe you know people who are controlled by all these outside forces or possibly even demon possession. They want out, but there's no hope for them, or so it seems. This man, there was no hope for him. Society tried to help him. Society tried to come in and bound him so that he wouldn't hurt himself or others, but there was no hope. Verse 6, it says, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Again, that question, why did he run to Jesus? I've got a couple of things that I think in my mind, I think was this man's last ditch efforts for some relief? Maybe the side of him that was still had a little bit of sanity thrusted himself before Jesus. Did he know who Jesus was? I don't think the man did, but the demons did. Did the demons thrust the man that direction? I don't know. It's not clear in the story, but here's the thing. Verse 7 continues and it says this, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? So who is this speaking? This is the demon. So here's we'll get into this in a second. I don't want y'all to put the slide up just yet. But he's going to ask his name and he's going to say Legion. And so here's the thing. There's a spokesperson for that tremendous amount of demons. And that's the one that's conversing with Jesus. Very dark, very dark stuff that we're reading about right here this morning. Anyways, he goes on, he says, crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Here's what the crazy part of that is these demons knew who Jesus was. They said, you are the Son of the Most High God. That's an Old Testament phrase, meaning you're the Son of the Living God. You are the Son of the one true God. That's what they're saying here. And so I want to kind of point out something right quick. The demons realized who Jesus was. What about the Pharisees in that time? Did they? So what we're saying in this story, the demons had more knowledge about who Jesus was, his true identity, than the Pharisees, who were supposed to be the religious leaders at the time. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can be like the Pharisees. We're not supposed to be. We can be like the Pharisees, and we can have our head shoved so far in the sand that we miss who Jesus really is. We don't ever want to be there, right? So we always have to have our heads up, being watchful, being diligent. Why? Because, well, we know the rest of that verse. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we must be alert. The demon said, Jesus, you're the Son of the Most High God. And then they continue, I adjure you by God, do not torment me. Do not torment me. Why? Why would the demon ask this? Because Jesus can. Exactly. Exactly right. Because Jesus could have ended them right then and right there and made it very, very uncomfortable on them. And so there was this self-preservation that we all have, and even apparently demons have. Do not torment me. And in verse 8 it says, for he was saying to him, this is Jesus saying to the man, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And so he's saying, I want you to come out of this man. Leave this man alone. Depart from him. And Jesus asked him, the man, what is your name? And the man replied. Now what you'll notice is this is not the man, but this is the demons responding on his behalf. And what do they say? My name is Legion, for we are many. In fact, if you look behind me, you'll see a legion of Roman soldiers. These soldiers, there would have been approximately 5,500 to 6,000 in a legion of Roman soldiers. And so when they say this word, it can either mean a specific number like this, or it just means a whole bunch. But do you get the idea of how many demons, unclean spirits, possessed this man? There was no way for this man to rid himself of these things. In fact, if you read about when the disciples, they go on behalf of Jesus, he sends them out. It's called the Limited Commission. And when he sends them out, they go and there's certain types of demons that they cannot cast out. I would bet, I would say this would be one of those. This man is controlled by this legion of demons. Verse 10. And he begged him, the demons, earnestly not to send them out of the country. Why is that? Well, apparently the demon had made himself home in the region of Decapolis, there in this place of the Gerasenes. Why did the demon not want to be sent out? Because there he found people to possess, to control, to honor the demon's lord, Satan. And so he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Verse 11, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, the demons, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. Now let me kind of fast forward a little. I'm going to go get into some of the detail there, but let me just say this. Let's put us in 2023. Does anybody have herds of pigs? I don't know of anybody around here who has herds of pigs. Maybe there is someone. But we do have herds of cows, okay, cattle. And so just imagine this, okay, especially as we go throughout the story. You've got 2,000 head of cattle. And Jesus releases the demons into the 2,000 heads of cattle. But anyways, back to our story. It says that there's this great herd of pigs. So was this a Jewish region place, or was this a Gentile region or place? Gentile, why? Yeah, Jews didn't have anything to do with pig. And I praise Jesus that he said pigs are okay to eat because bacon is amazing. Testify, right? And so you have this great herd of pigs. The demon begs Jesus to send them into the pigs, and so he does. He gave them permission, verse 13, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs in the herd, numbering about 2,000. They rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. They said, please don't torment us. Jesus says, I'll allow you to go into the pigs. They rush down and they drown and they die. That's the end of it. The end of it. But it's not the end of our story. Because what we see in this story is sometimes we can care too much about the things of this life instead of what Jesus is doing. And that's where we pick up in verse 14. The herdsmen. Okay, so the people who are watching the pigs. Boy, what a job, right? What a job. The people who were watching the pigs, they fled and they told it in the city and in the country. So they go and they start spreading the news. Jesus did something and now all the pigs are dead. We don't have any bacon. Hey, I will say that is a big thing to put out there. I mean, that would be on Facebook, you know, emergency, pigs have died, no bacon in the stores. And we would have some riots, I'm sure, here in Cuero, Texas, if we didn't have any bacon. Anyways, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. So they heard the story from the herdsmen, and now they wanted to go see for themselves. We pick up in verse 15, it says, and they came to Jesus, and they were shocked. They saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion. Do you think everybody knew about this man? In fact, I'm sure there are probably even, possibly even, signs out there posted. Stay away from this area. Don't go that way. Think about if you had kids that day. What were you telling the kids? Hey, I want you to understand, you don't go over there by the Sea of Galilee, by that hill, that mountain, by those caves. You don't ever go there. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. Right? And said, so they knew who this man was. He was sitting there. He was clothed and in his right mind. And they rejoiced at what Jesus had done. Nope, that would be adding to God's word. It's not what it says. They were afraid. They were overcome with fear because of what Jesus had done in this man's life. Have you ever been overcome with fear about what God has done in someone's life? Has there ever been enough radical change in someone's life that you are put in a place of fear because of the change that's happened? Most of us would say probably not. Although we are glad to say, yes, we've seen God change lives, but to get to that point of fear, we would say, I'm not really afraid. But here they are, because they knew who this man was, and they were afraid. Verse 16, and those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Just a few chapters back, and you see Jesus, and he's in the Nazareth area. He goes into the synagogue, which was his custom to teach. And was he welcome there? I know, he says, a prophet is not without honor in his own town. They begged Jesus to depart. Please leave, Jesus. You've done enough. Go. Get out of here. They're begging him, please go away. Verse 18 says, hold on, let's stop there before we go into 18. Why were they begging Jesus to depart? Let me ask you, if you knew of a man, woman, who was crazy, a lunatic, insane, who could not be bound, and they so happened to live a couple doors down from you, a couple fields over from you, and Jesus heals this man, sets him in his right mind, casts those demons out into your cattle, and your cattle all run off of a cliff and drown into your pond, lake, whatever. How would you treat Jesus? Their livelihood had been affected. Sometimes when we When Jesus starts to mess around with those things, or the status quo, we can become nervous. And we can get to that point where we're like these people, okay, Jesus, I'm glad that you've done this amazing thing, but I'm kind of ready for you to move on because I need to go back to my regular, normal life now. I think these people were more concerned about the pigs than they were about what happened to this guy. Have you ever been there? Some of y'all have been at those churches who care more about the color of the carpet than they do about the people outside the walls. I'm glad to say we don't have carpet here. And if you don't like the color of something, well, it's probably myself or Glenn that picked it, so you can get mad at us. But don't leave, because people outside these walls are way more important than what the color of the chairs are or what the color of the walls are. Sometimes we can get so focused on our life that we miss the big picture of what Jesus is doing. In fact, that's very common for us. Sometimes we can get jealous. Well, look what God's doing for that person. The church is doing this for them. And you know, they've just got a new job and everything just seems to be going great for them. We get that mindset. I would just say, hey, shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give him glory for what he's doing in another person's life. And stop being so selfish. Stop caring about the pigs and care that this man, who probably his only wish in life was to die so that he could get out of this misery, is now clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Stop caring about the pigs so much. Let's finish the story. Verse 18. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. Wow. What a transformation, right? What a transformation. Lord, please let me be with you. And by the way, that phrase, be with him, means basically, I want to follow you around just like your disciples are following you around. I want to be in your presence every single day, Lord. That's what he's begging him to do. And this is, it's kind of an odd response, because we would expect Jesus to say, come on, bro, come with me. That's what we'd expect Jesus to say. But here's the thing. Jesus knows what it is that he's calling us to. In verse 19, it says this. He did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. I can't let you go with me. I can't let you follow me physically. But I do want you to still follow me. And I've got a job for you. You see, sometimes we look at the 12 disciples and we think, wow, how amazing would it have been to be one of those guys and walk around with Jesus every single day. But do you realize this man played a vital role in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, if we look at verse 20, we'll see this map in just a second. It says this, and he went away, the man, and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. If you look at our map here, you see the Sea of Galilee. You remember kind of where our speck was up there. And you see this region called Decapolis over here. And so that man went from that speck to this region telling people about Jesus. How many people heard about what Jesus did in this man's life? Can you imagine the scars that he had from cutting himself? Those don't heal quickly, do they? Can you imagine what he looked like? And here he is, he's telling people about Jesus. He's pointing them to the man who changed his life forever. Sometimes the position that we want is not what God wants for us. Because, let's face it, we'd all like to be a disciple that follows Jesus around all the time. That'd be awesome. But he tells this man, I can't permit you to come with me. But what I do want you to do is I want you to go and tell other people about me. And that's exactly what this man did. So I want to point out three kind of truths that we see from this passage today. The first one, this is a real life story of when Jesus left the 99 to find the one. How much time did Jesus spend in this place? Muy poquito. Okay, is that right? Anyways, very little. It's almost like, and in fact, Jesus knew, right? It's almost like he took a whole boat ride to win one person and then return to the other side. This is a real life story of Jesus leaving the 99 to find the one. And that's exactly what he's done for you and me. He's left the 99 to come rescue us. And I'm just going to say hallelujah, thank you Jesus, that he rescued me and that he rescued you. I may not be in the shape that this man was, but I was lost and I was condemned by my sins and on my road to hell. And then Jesus showed up in my life. I repented, placed my faith in him, and I am here today living for him, doing my best. The second truth I want you to see is don't let what Jesus is doing be drowned out by the cares of this world. Remember the people? What were they concerned about? The pigs. Let me ask you a question. What care in this world right now is drowning out what Jesus is wanting to do in your life or wanting to do through you? Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it extracurricular activity? I don't know, whatever it is. The weather? Yeah, I think I can count all y'all on my two hands this morning. I understand. I know it's bad out there. In fact, when that hail started falling, I heard it, and I was like, my truck's outside. Lauren was gone to help to go pick someone up, and so I backed it up in the garage, and I think it was okay. And then after that, it really started hailing. And so, yeah, I was kind of like, okay, what's going on? What's going to happen today? But I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad that you're online with us as well. But yeah, what care in this world is drowning out what Jesus is trying to do in your life? And the last one, following Jesus requires actions and words. Here's that expression, the only Bible that some people will read is the way you live your life. And that is true. But it's also equally true in Scripture that we must live a holy life and we also must talk about a holy God, Jesus Christ, and point people to him. See, this man left changed. His actions were changed. He wasn't cutting himself anymore. He wasn't sitting there living in the caves. He went back to his family, and he was proclaiming with his words the power of Jesus and who Jesus was and how he rescued him, healed him, and gave him eternal life. What a story. You've got a story. You may say, well, mine's not like this man's. God didn't do any amazing thing in my life. Oh, hold on a second. Really? God didn't rescue you from your sins? See, in our minds, we say, well, my sins are kind of small, and a guy like that, he's got some big sins. But here's the thing about all of that, is sin is sin in the eyes of God. We are the ones who put the weight on it. He says if you've lied once in your life, you're a sinner, you stand condemned in front of the Father unless you know Jesus. Or whether you have done all the things, killed and murdered and slept around, you're a sinner, you stand condemned, and you need Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this today as we wrap up. Have you met Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to a Savior who loves you and cares deeply for you, who will help you out of any situation? There is nothing too big for God. I promise you that. There's nothing too big for Jesus to overcome. Have you surrendered your life? Have you repented of your sins? That means I know that my sin separates me from God. I'm turning from those, confessing those to Him, and asking Him to save me, to come into my life and be Lord of my life. Have you done that this morning? If you haven't, you can today. Even with the all busted up weather outside, you can still meet Jesus here. This man, I'm sure, felt like there was no hope. So I don't know what you come here with today. I don't know what baggage you bring. You may think in a particular area of your life, maybe a particular sin problem or a temptation that you just always, you just give into. You may feel like there is no hope. But let me ask you this. Have you put it in the hands of Jesus? And I'm not talking about you're just saying like, Jesus, you know this is my problem. Please take care of it. Have you confessed it to Him? Have you come before Him and made an effort on your own to open up His Word, to learn from Him and let Him change your heart so that you can overcome that in your life? That's what I'm talking about. Have you brought it to the throne? Have you laid it before His feet? If you have, He will give you victory. He will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, so much for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for this story, God. This man, this demon-possessed man. I'm sure the only sane thoughts that he could have were just, I want to end it. I want to be done. I'm so fed up and I'm so tired of living this way, God. But then Jesus showed up on the shores for him. And God, there is nothing too big for You. You are our way maker. Through You, we can overcome all things, God. And so I come before You. And I just declare that about You. That there's nothing that You cannot handle. There is no temptation that is too big that You won't provide that way of escape, God. And there is no sin that is too large that if we confess to You that You won't forgive. We're to cast those at Your feet. To take the burdens that we have and give them to You. And You'll take all those things. And You'll take our ugly. You'll take a lunatic and save him, redeem him, make him into Your child. So, Lord, please do a work in our hearts today that we might honor You with our lives, that we may know the extreme power that You possess. So, Lord, please help us to stop doing things on our own. Please help us to stop caring about the things of this world. Realize You left the 99 for us. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.